You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Welcome to First Bite, our Detroit Lions midweek podcast, where we bring in a special guest to talk all things Detroit Lions. My name is Jeremy Reisman. I'm the editor-in-chief over at Pride of Detroit. And man, do we have a really good show for you today. I am so excited to continue our draft recap series, recapping every single draft pick. We did Chase Lucas last week, and we're getting into one of my favorite picks of the Detroit Lions draft, James Houston, today. But before we get into our special guest, let me bring in my co-host, Ryan Matthews, the senior editor of Pride of Detroit, at Ryan_POD on Twitter. Ryan, how are we doing tonight?
It was a beautiful day today, Jeremy. It was overcast, but at least it was above 75 degrees. So, and it's going to get even hotter when we start talking about the guy that the Lions drafted.
James Houston. So yeah. Exciting. And yeah, and we have got a couple of experts on James Houston. They are co-host of the Tiger Talk with the 1400 Club podcast, who's been covering Jackson State for the last 2 years. Ken Clark and Nunzio Phillips are with us. Fellas, how you doing tonight?
Doing wonderful. Wonderful. Thanks for having us. We appreciate doing you for allowing us to come in.
Doing pretty good, man. Thanks for the invite. Happy to be here.
Yeah, and we owe you a thank you already, because you did an awesome five-question series for us for the website. But I want to dig even deeper today. And so let's start at the beginning, at least the beginning of his Jackson State career, because obviously he had the 3-year career over in Florida. Tell me about the moment that you realized James Houston was transferring to Jackson State. What was your impressions of him before he even got on campus?
I'll yield to Nazio for this first one, and now I'll follow up.
Okay, well, when he first got to campus, he got to actually hit the portal. He actually arrived. Hasn't even been a full year yet as we speak. It arrived in the middle of June. It was toward the end of June, or I believe the middle of the June, when he got there. And as we know, we're excited to get him, you know, because another high profile player, being that, you know, coming through the portal, was at one time a 5-star athlete out of Fort Lauderdale. And so knowing that we already had, you know, some good transfers in with Aubrey Miller, as well as a returning player, Keontae Hampton, who was a previous conference player, defensive player of the year. So just added depth and, you know, knowing he was going to be a good fit, but we had no idea what we were going to get, as well as with the change, you know, that preceded, you know, once he got to practice. But still, he had great, I mean, the attributes were there, so we were ecstatic to have him. I mean, it was an overhaul of what we had, and it was more going to what Coach Prime was mentioning with regards to bringing in new talent, an influx of upgraded talent, per se.
I agree with that. When I first saw it, I mean, Zoe and I have been following the recruiting for probably, a decade, Zoe, with Jackson State. And when we saw it, we saw the picture released, and immediately, it's what we do. We go, once we see a player and they commit to Jackson State, we go and do our research. And I remember James because, you know, outside of Jackson State, you know, I'm along with JSU, the I love to the heart. I'm a Nick Saban fan. I follow Alabama.
Hey, Jameson Williams. We're fans now. Jameson Williams.
I know, right?
Hey, I'm a Golden Domer.
So here's the thing. I'm watching James Houston play in the SEC championship game not even a few months prior to that. And I thought it was pretty cool. He had a really good game, and now he's a JSU Tiger. I'm like, wow, okay. And one of the things about Coach Prime we've learned is we just never always expect the unexpected. You never know who's going to be next, who's going to be here, who's going to leave. When we saw him, we like Zoe said, we initially thought he was going to be adding linebacker depth. We pride ourselves on, we feel like we have the best linebacker room in all of FCS. And when he came in, we thought he was going to be coming in to play the same position that he played at Florida, but Coach Prime had somewhat of a different plan for him. I'm pretty sure we're speaking to that, but that was my first impression. Pretty good production. We saw a senior grad transfer as part of Coach Prime's recruiting model. He has a 20% affinity. Actually, I think it's 40% affinity for grad transfers, something to that effect. But he definitely targets that market, and congratulations to James for getting his degree at Florida. And we welcome him as a Tiger. He's excited to have him.
Yeah, so Zoe, I mean, you touched on it a little bit there. You know, he was hesitant to make that move to the edge at Jackson State, but eventually, you know, Coach Prime, you know, talked him into making that transition in his playing career. So, you know, playing a linebacker at Florida, you think you're getting this player to play linebacker, but what about that move spoke to him as a person willing to make that change?
Well, he was hesitant at first, but like anything else, I think you have to check the source. You know, our defensive coaches, outside of Coach Prime, you know, you have Coach Weeks, whose reputation precedes himself as a D-line coach, you know, mm-hmm. with the Jets when they had the number one ranked defense in the NFL, as well as Dennis Durman, who was his defensive coordinator. They coached on the same staff, you know, so you got basically, you know, three well-versed head, you know, coaches with NFL pedigree telling you, son, I think you can make some money if you put your hand in the dirt. And again, I think any player worth his salt, well, you know, you want to play what you want to play. So there's always going to be some hesitancy there. But the reason why they switched him, number one, was because, you know, Keontae Hampton was there and you have Aubrey Miller. They are coming off the field. But also, they saw what he did in pass rushes. And they said, man, this kid got it. And so the moment they got him there, he saw that it was working. And so Coach Weeks got to working with him. And he just got better. He had a natural gift for the pass rush, and he just got better with the coaching. And I mentioned to Ken earlier today, we talk every day. I mentioned to him today that it's May. As I speak to you guys right now, he hasn't been a full year since he actually enrolled in Jackson State, and he's got drafted at a brand new position.
Yeah.
So. I want to add to that. I'll challenge any of you guys, listeners and followers. Coach Prime has a documentary. Called Coach Prime. It's actually on Barstool. You can go on YouTube. I would tell you, go to season 2, episode 3, and you're going to see the interaction that Coach Prime as well as Coach Tony Weeks actually had with James Houston. So what Zoe talked about is actually on film, and he was very resistant. And matter of fact, I'll take it a step further. He felt like he was disrespected. He told him, he's like, Coach, I feel like y'all disrespecting, you know, my talents as a football player. And Coach Prime, you know, being the, you know, as candid as he is, and Coach Weeks it was a very passionate, heartfelt, emotional conversation. And it was like, you have to trust us. Like, we have 60 years of experience at this. You have a gift at this. And they were saying, basically, if you were everything that you think you are at a stand-up middle linebacker, you wouldn't be here. You would have already done what you needed to do, but you have to trust us. You have a gift. We'll move you over here. Like Zoe mentioned, we had two all-conference linebackers that led the conference in tackles enroll in the same exact position, and he wouldn't have gotten the reps from a depth standpoint,
right?
Because that position was already kind of solidified. But when he came off the edge, it was masterful, and they highlighted his gift. He trusted him, and in the end, to your question, it spoke to the kind of character that James Houston has. He's a football player. That was the first thing he wanted to know. When he was speaking to the Detroit Lions media, I'm a football player. It doesn't matter if it's special teams. He said the same thing. He's like, Coach, I'll get on the offense if y'all want me to get on offense.
Yeah, he's block. A fullback. Yeah, he said he'd be a fullback.
If you go and follow what I'm saying, season 2, episode 3, he said that to the coaches. I'm willing to do whatever. And that just speaks to the kind of character that he has and the kind of player that he is. He was willing to do in the end. They shook hands. He's like, all right, let's go get it. And the rest is history.
That's interesting.
And Jeremy, that even speaks to our conversation that we had with Hode about Chase Lucas, right? Like, I mean, there's that transition in the coaching staff, and it's a guy like Herm Edwards. It's like, yeah, okay, yes. I'm gonna trust the guy who's been there, done that, walked the walk, right? You know, and again, football player, right? Like the Lions got football players.
That's exactly what they're looking for. That's the exact words that they're always saying they're looking for. And so it's interesting. You mentioned some of the defensive coaches come from a former Jets staff. Obviously, you got Deion Sanders. Even in high school, he was coached by Patrick Surtain Sr. So,
that's correct.
Yeah, I'm just kind of curious, like, how that confluence of great influencers maybe showed up on the field, having all of these mentors that have played the game at the NFL level, or at least coached at the NFL level, transform his game in a single year. Not even a full calendar year, just like what, 6 months.
Yeah. The change is actually, it's apparent. I mean, even watching when he first get there, you know, watching him from practice film, as well as, you know, you actually, and I challenge any Detroit Lion fan, if you get a chance, go check out some Jackson State games on the, if you make some defensive cutups, just watch the growth from game one to the last game of the year. He had some great rushes in the first game against FAMU. Actually, he sealed the game with a half a sack with a freshman to win that game. But then from then on, he was unblockable. It was like from that, he ended up going to the next game and got four sacks against Tennessee State the very next week. You transferred that to the third game where he actually, it's a questionable, we got kicked out of the game off of targeting that was very questionable on the goal line, getting a safety. All right, to where he actually became, he was unblockable toward the last three games of the year. Yes, he was double teamed the entire game. And we're talking about a guy in the first year at a brand new position.
Yeah, I think when you're talking about James Houston, the story of James Houston, one of the things that stuck out to me when I was following their media team that covered his house, that covered the draft day, James Houston II, his grandfather, the pride of the family, like to carry the family name, to come from an area where he had full support, mother and father, play for a reputable coach in high school, get a chance to go play for Coach Dan Mullen, who had a really good run at Mississippi State and over to Florida, which I know they replaced their coach, but to get to Florida, just to get to Florida is a feat within itself. You have to be doing some special stuff, you know, on the high school level to get an opportunity to go play for the Florida Gators. And then to transition over here, like you said, Coach Prime talked about his staff having some 80-something years of NFL professional and football experience. I think we all can agree that, you know, Coach Prime, one of the greatest at his position, if not the greatest, arguably, Dennis Thurman. We've had some cameos by Coach Rex Ryan, who was actually the head coach. He was on campus. Mickey Andrews, Coach Prime's defensive coordinator was on staff, was on the campus talking to the players. So, and one thing Zoe and I talked about is that I don't feel like the moment is going to be too big, because what Coach Prime has created is kind of a media, some people call it media circus, but more of a media frenzy where there are a lot of cameras, there's a lot of eyes that are on you at all times, which requires you to have to, you know, perform at a high level under a very small microscope. And I think that James, for him to thrive, as Nunzio mentioned, in the circumstances that he was dealt, it just speaks to his preparation, his influence, and those that have had their hands on him. And I think he's NFL ready, probably one of the most NFL ready players that we've had to come out of our university in quite some time. He's actually number 100 for Jackson State, by the way. He was the number 100 draft pick for Jackson State in the history of the program.
Wow.
So he's a special talent, special player, and couldn't be more happy for James to be that particular one. And the Lions are getting a good one.
So Ken, as you mentioned, you know, that documentary, Coach Prime, you know, was season 2, episode 3. I want to keep on just reiterating it so nobody misses a chance to go back and check that out. But, you know, you talked about how passionate that talk was about him making the change to edge. I want to know, like, were you surprised based on that interaction he had, how resistant he was to how well he acclimated and how well he performed? Just the numbers that he put up in the FCS were, you know, astonishing.
Yeah, for us, it's a little different because we didn't really know James Houston prior to, because we're kind of in our own world. I mean, you may have known of him, but I'm just be honest. I don't follow Florida like that. It's for me, we're recruiting, and Zoe attests to this. When you have Coach, we laugh. We say Coach Prime fired all of us because we used to do a lot of like recruiting in regards of like keeping up. When Coach Prime came, we was like, oh, we just got to find something else to do, man. He got this recruiting thing knocked out.
Yeah, so he's got that handled.
So when the interest is so high, you don't really want to lose a lot of time getting lost into wasting time on players that's probably not going to be here. So what we've done is we've taken a when they commit, then we'll go do our research type approach. So when James comes in, it's like, okay, we got to go check this out. So we're automatically watching film and we're like, man, this is going to be solid. Again, we don't know because the day that we saw James Houston in a Jackson State Tigers uniform, James Houston was an edge rusher. So we never saw him play the stand-up linebacker. It wasn't, we were like, wow. So they moved him. And here's the beauty of the document. I hate to keep plugging it, but it was such, it was so good for me because we're considered insiders. And so I'll tell you, yeah, we might know a lot of stuff, but a lot of stuff we don't get the why or the how, the when. So what that visual gave us was the why and the when and the wow. This is interesting. And obviously it was good enough for the producers to put it on the show. And we were like, ah, okay, that's what happened. So for him to go out there, like Zoe mentioned, and I'm going to be honest with you about one other thing. If you look at his stats, and we'll dive into that a little deeper, but I feel like his stats were not as accurate. And it still bothers me because I've been on record 100 times saying that James Houston should have been the SWAC Defensive Player of the Year. I stand by that. I feel like some of his sacks were not accounted for. I don't know who, whatever. I'm going to just leave that alone because I might get in trouble. But I mean that because when you go to that game, I think the stats are a little off. You watch the tape will tell you one thing, and then the stats will say a whole different ball game. But he did make the game-winning sack, and we were like, oh, wow. James Houston, man, he's a problem, and that's where his name came.
The problem,
Houston,
yeah.
We have a problem.
That's right.
It was organic.
And then, like he said, one last thing. The next game, because Florida A&M, we haven't played them. We beat them the past few times we played them, but it's been several games since we beat Tennessee State. Now you got Coach Eddie George is coaching them, and we're going to Memphis, and he had a breakout monster game. Literally took over that game on defense, and we was like,
four sacks and should have had six.
He's unbelievably special.
Well, before we head to our break, I want to move a little bit back to James Houston, the person, because football character is so important to the Lions and what they're trying to build here. And you told us about the moment in which, you know, Deion had to tell him that they were going to move him to edge. Is there any other moment either on the field, off the field, with the media, with the coach that you saw that kind of exemplifies who he is as a person?
Actually, I think there were several. I can actually go back, you know, to the Florida A&M game. There's a video of him, you know, with a bloody nose. He made the last sack of the game. He has a bloody nose and he's on the field. And he was like, man, I've never experienced anything like this. You know, he's a player that he's one of the few that lives in the moment and cherishes the moments. He's had several of those and they're documented. There's video of him on like, I know at least four games, and he's actually caught into the moment after making a big play, not like celebrating or anything like that. This is like at the end of the game, soaking in the atmosphere, you know, saying, man, you know, this is amazing. You know, I'm here at a FCS school. I'm here at a HBCU. You know, it's nothing like what I experienced. And I'm, you know, having great success, you know, in a new position and, you know, everything is going well. It's like, I trusted, you know, my gut. I followed my heart on his decision because this wasn't a well planned out thing to come to Jackson State. You know, he took his visit and he just, you know, he said it felt right. Mind you, he had a friend on the team as well with John Huggins, you know, and he convinced him to come. And he said he felt at home and prayed about it. And he's mentioned that, like I said, several opportunities after the game. So his football integrity is good. His integrity, he has a good head on the shoulder. So, like I said, not having my blue and white glasses on, the Lions really, like I told you, man, they got great, great value for where they slotted and where they got James Houston at.
I want to add one thing. James Houston has a great family. I want to commend his family and a great support system. I've had the pleasure to talk to James on multiple occasions. I've gotten multiple pictures with him. Like I mentioned, I had a chance to cover him at the NFLPA game and very, very personable. Matter of fact, I've even talked to him prior to this. And I was like, hey, man, I don't know what number you're going to wear. You know, you got to make that roster. But whatever jersey he gets, he's going to send me a jersey. I want him signed. I'm going to put it in the man cave, man. So just James Houston in person, very personable. When they won that game against FAMU, he wasn't off to the locker. You got shoulder pads off, soaking it up in the crowd, shaking hands, taking pictures. Very, very approachable. very in the moment, and just a fan favorite. He was very, very, very personable. Even after we won the SWAC championship, just never too big for the moment, you know, never felt like he was, you know, greater than or whatever the case may be. He just was, you know, you could tell he was taking it in. And I know why, because his family, he has a family of HBCU graduates, and, you know, for him to go to Florida and to get his degree from Florida and to have this opportunity for this experience, it was a once in a lifetime opportunity for him. And I couldn't be more happy for him, because when you know his story, you know that this is what it's all about. This is what all the hard work and it's unbelievable to be here discussing that. So yeah. Truly happy for him. Great person, great character.
You guys talk about like soaking in the moment and everything. It really comes off as sounding like he's very appreciative of the opportunity he had to, like you said, Ken, you know, carry on a family tradition and a family legacy, and to have those roots. I think that's, as you mentioned, so like a good head on his shoulders, and hopefully the Lions did get, you know, a good football player, which we're going to get into in the second segment, right, Jeremy? Yes.
Yeah, we'll take a break here. When we come back, we're going to talk all about the football player, all about the player that the Lions are getting on the field, maybe what his potential is in year one and maybe beyond. But we'll be right back with here, First Bite, with our friends over at Tiger Talk with 1400 Club. We'll be right back.
Vacations can be tricky. You already know how to book flights and hotels, but now the only thing you're missing is, you know, the actual travel experience. Because is it really a vacation if you're just sitting around like you would at home? You need a tool to get the most out of your time away. That's where Viator steps in. You can book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected. And 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome back to First Bite. We are here with Ken Clark and Nunzio Phillips from Tiger Talk with the 1400 Club, talking all about James Houston, the Lions' sixth round pick. We talked about the person. Let's get into the player. I'm just going to start out with a very basic question. How was he so good as a pass rusher? You mentioned he probably should have had even more sacks to his name. I think it was, what, 14 in one season? How did he do it? 16 and a half. I'm way off. I'm sorry. So we should have had upwards of 20, I guess.
I think the biggest thing is James Houston's frame. He has a very, from what I can see, you know, 6'1", height, 240, 245, you know, but he has a quick first step, the ability to shed tackles, get off the edge. He has that really good bend. A lot of times when you look at the NFL and the way the game is played, you think about edge rushers, you think, you know, Chase Young, you want the average typical side, Aiden Hutchinson. I know you guys just drafted him with the number two pick. However, you know, that's Hall of Famers. That and the like of the Robert Mathis, alum of Alabama A&M, also from the SWAC, 6 foot tall. He was a terrorist on the defensive line. No one could block him. So when you think about defensive edge rushers, you think about James Houston in the light of a Robert Mathis. Not saying he would be Mathis. We're just saying, you know, for those that like to say he's undersized, right? But what we got a chance to witness is just he was just a force. I mean, that's where he got the nickname from, the problem. Like Houston, we have a problem. His ability to just come off the edge and just he has a high motor nonstop. He has the ability to kind of find a man, see ball, find man. And I'll tell you this, James Houston is not just about edge rushing. He has a documented gift of forcing fumbles. I mean, it's if you're going through his actual college career, even at Florida, you know, he had every season he had multiple forced fumbles. And at Jackson State, he had 7. Think about it. I mean, so I just want to mention his stats. 70 tackles, you know, 24 and a half tackles for loss, 16 and a half sacks, 10 quarterback hurries. 1 game-changing interception against in the SWAC championship game. He scored 2 touchdowns. He had a forced fumble that he caused against Alabama A&M, Akil Glass, best quarterback in the conference at the rookie minicamp for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. He sacks him. By the way, he did not get a credit for a sack, and I'm still mad about that. You can tell I'm a numbers guy.
Sure did.
They considered it a forced fumble, but he knocked him down. He actually knocked him down. I'm like, that's a sack.
That's both. Right? Yeah.
so he stripped. It was a strip sack. He picks it up. He takes it to the house. Touchdown. SWAC championship game. We come out. We needed a score. It was 10-7, I think. It broke it open. That was the game-changing play. And it wasn't just a bunch of empty stats, you know, 2 fumble recoveries. The point that I'm making is that he made game-changing plays. And it wasn't just a bunch of stats. When you watch the film, he made game-changing, defense-altering. Jackson State had the number one defense in all of FCS football last season. And James Houston was the number one reason, along with the other 10 guys. I don't want to get in trouble, but he was a problem for the SWAC conference. So that's my little tidbit for now. I'll let Zell jump in on that.
Well, the main thing that stands out to him is that he has a great toolbox. He has a lot that he can add. Like Ken said, he has an amazing get off. But also he has a great dip move as well as a great, I call it a crossover. Oh, that's what he kills him at. He has a great like crossover move. That he utilizes with his get off, it's amazing. And there were times when you could see certain linemen, because they got beat a certain way, that they would have fear, you know, knowing that they got beat earlier, to, you know, what move he's going to have next. But the one thing I would like to see him utilize that he doesn't have yet, I know he's a tweener, but I would love to see him, because he's strong. I would love to see him have like a club move like Reggie White used to have, just something else to add to the toolbox. But man, he has a great toolbox. And that's the thing going into the league that you really want to have with pass rushers. You don't want just a bull rusher, guys, to just have one move. The fact that he has a great toolbox going into camp, you know, and again, he's not a finished product. Let me add that. As good as he is, you know, there's room for growth. And so if he can add more things to his toolbox, then, you know, that's an even better player that the Lions get.
I can tell you're a Bears fan if you're bringing up Reggie White's club move. You've been traumatized by that too, huh?
Yeah.
That was a good one.
So Zoe, you know, you talked a little bit about like what he has in his toolbox, right? You talked a little bit about the pass rush moves he has, the pass rush moves you wish that he has. And Dane Brugler mentioned in his draft guide, you know, the one thing that he can work on is maturing his rush plan. Like, he has the length, I mean, he's got an 82 inch wingspan, but he's got these heavy hands and an explosive pursuit of the quarterback. And, you know, Brugler said, you know, those are traits worth betting on. Like, how can you see him developing those traits, and where do you think his ceiling might be as a pass rusher at the next level?
I've been thinking about that, because to me, it's hard to find his comp. I know, to me, it's low hanging fruit to say Micah Parsons. You know, that's low hanging fruit. I mean, because that's just like,
that's what Deion said, right?
It is, but to me, I was trying to find someone older, and I get that because of the versatility, because he played linebacker and he can actually rush. So I get that. But I'm just thinking with his skill set, to answer the question, to, you know, of where he can actually go, because Micah Parsons himself is not a finished product. You know, he hasn't even got to his prime yet. So I was thinking, you know, at one point like London Fletcher, but that's a linebacker. I'm just thinking of Rush Ends, but I say Elmas Dumervil. That's the closest thing I could come to, because undersized, great edge rusher.
Yeah, bit of a tweener though, right?
Bit of a tweener, great edge rusher, and had a great career in the NFL. Had put up great numbers with the Broncos. So that was the closest thing I could find, was an Elmas Dumervil. But like I said, I didn't want to just go with thing where we know he's not going to grow anymore. But with regards to, you know, he can always get stronger, he could get leaner, or he may even pick up on some size. But his toolbox, he can actually add some more tools to it. And I think when in doing so, he'll be complete.
It's kind of fascinating to me that you guys, let's say he's already got this full toolbox. He's only been playing the position for 5-6 months. He's already got all these pass rush moves, and so developed as a guy already. And maybe that speaks to the coaching staff that he's been around his entire career.
I think the coach is solid in him.
Yeah.
So what they would do is they would move him around, and he like he said he likened his ability to play in the middle is poetry. That's what he called it. And but every time he would come off the edge, it wasn't that the lineman that he was going up against for the most part wasn't good enough. It was just for the most part it was his ability to maneuver in the and like I said, I think it's his first step. Again, when you get to the NFLPA game, it still flashed out. You know, you got everyone that's there was the best on their team, you know, and looking to get to that next level. So for me, I think here's the thing that I think that works in his favor. It's not, you know, I use a basketball analogy. Every time you know, basketball used to be all about height for one point in time. You know, everyone wants these big offensive linemen. Usually you see a left tackle or right tackle, they're probably going to be anywhere from the range of 6'5 to 6'8. I would say on an average. The thing that hurts to height is shorter guys have the ability to get lower.
Yeah,
it's a lower center of gravity. Their power and their force. James is more bottom heavy. You look at his frame. He has very long arms. He's physically gifted, but I would say from the waist down, has a lot of power. His ability to get off, and he is long and rangy, and he's able to move. So it just kind of works in his favor. His body's built for that, and I think his ability. I've seen him go under a lot of tackles and make that swim move, come on up and move around. And when the pocket closes off, he's right there forward. So I think that bodes well for him. I'm going to stick along the lines of Robert Mathis, because I've seen him do it so often, you know, come off the edge, and he was 6 feet tall. And like I said, he was physically strong, and he gave tackles a fits in the NFL. But for James, I think the first things first, like he mentioned, was to get on the field, make the special teams, go make an impact, just be a football player. And when you get that chance, you know, to show what you can do, go make it pop, man. Go make that splash just like he did for us in a JSU Tiger uniform.
Yeah, and Houston has said already with Lions Media that he wants to be a force phase special teamer. So again, he kind of has that right football attitude that he wants to get in and work his way up. So we mentioned the one downfall to his athletic profile is the size. Maybe the one downfall to his game so far is maybe he's not as developed as a run defender. Is that a fair criticism of him, do you think? And is it something that he can improve upon? Because maybe that's also where the size plays in a little bit.
I think he's adequate in the run game.
Okay.
He actually put up some good numbers in the run game. I really think his only weakness, yes, it is his size. I think the only thing with his size, though, is depending on a certain type of guard when he gets in and when they get their hands on them. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And also depending on the play call itself. I think that's the only issue that he could possibly run to. But again, how many plays is he really going to have in a fraction of a game where he's actually going inside, you know, with the guards? Those percentages are going to be low. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But his success rate, because he'll be utilized for the most part, will be outside when, you know, once he's actually on the defense. But again, he can stun inside. It just depends on the guard play, what they're running. If they get certain guards to get their hands on them, you know, then his size will work against him just because of the nature of the way that he plays, you know. But outside of that, you know, if he's coming inside with the run, he's been adequate. He's put up decent numbers, you know, on run tackles this year for Jack State.
I think the thing that helps him, he's a great tackler. Once he gets his hands on you, he there's not a lot of I would say offensive players broke tackles that he once he grabbed you, the play was pretty much over with. So that has helped him in the run game quite a bit. When you go, there's a cut up of some of his highlights. If you followed his career in Jackson State, it wasn't just you know, just wasn't just sacks, but a lot of those tackle for losses were tackles in the backfield on running backs. The ability to get off the edge and get in the backfield, be disruptive, and make plays. So I think it's a fair criticism. I think at this point, I mean, at this point, you're looking for reasons to not to be critical.
Right.
And I think there's a, I think everything has to be reassessed. What he did at Jackson State is great, you know, but now he's got to go improve it on the next level. And he's got to go and show that he belongs, which I think he does. I think we all think he belongs. And at this point, I know he's working on his craft, and I think, you know, I think he'll do okay, because every in each level when he's gotten an opportunity, he's been able to rise up to the occasion. He has everything he needs to be successful. I don't think the size is going to be that much of a hindrance, because in all honesty, I mean, he's coming off the edge. Everyone that he was pretty much going up against was taller than him and bigger than him, and he dominated. So I don't think that's going to hurt him too much, because he's a physically gifted, physically strong. And I think here's one thing I do want to mention. Him playing special teams throughout college, him playing middle linebacker, and him playing edge provides versatility. Anytime you're dealing with a tool, if a tool has the ability to do multiple things, that's a greater tool than just one thing. Yeah. I can't cut a steak with a spoon, right? You know what I mean? But, you know, to my point is that a spoon is only used for what it's for,
right?
You know, but a butter knife, I could screw it. I could take a lug nut and screw it in. I could pop a lock in the door. I mean, it's you know, Swiss Army knife, in my opinion. You
right.
know? So the criticisms are fair because of the size, but, you know, I think his heart is the size of Texas, man. Or should I say Florida? You know what I mean? So I think that might be a better he has the heart of a lion and you know, the fire of a tiger, man. So you got a tiger lion, man.
That's hey, coming up there. Perfect for Detroit. We got tigers and lions up here.
Liger.
Liger.
That's one hell of a versatile animal. My goodness.
That's true. That's true.
Well, Jeremy, I think the last thing that kind of wraps up, you know, my, because Zoe, Ken, like, I mean, just so much knowledge, and we are really appreciate you guys, you know, coming on the show and everything. And I feel like I've learned so much more about James Houston, and I have so much more to learn because of season 2, episode 3 of Coach Prime that you need to watch.
Awesome. You got
to
watch all of them. Watch all of them.
Yeah. I mean, run the numbers up. Right. But you know, I think I mentioned this on the podcast earlier this week, Jeremy, but a guy that you guys might be familiar with, you know, a former Florida linebacker that is back in Detroit now, Jared Davis, very similar size profile. Yep. 6'1", 245 yep. pounds, and where Jared Davis has been most successful in the NFL has been as a pass rusher. And right. I'm getting the sense of, like, this guy who has this strong, sturdy frame that he can really use his size to his benefit as a pass rusher. You know, I think Zoe was one who mentioned about, you know, his dip move, right? Like, I'm excited to see him. You know, is it too early, guys, to say, like, hey, by year one, maybe he could be a sub package guy. Maybe he comes in on third down to rush the passer and get after the guy.
Well, that's a good point.
I don't think that's too much to ask at all, honestly. Go ahead, Zoe.
That's actually a good point, because we also have to mention, man, this is a new NFL. You know, things right. are different. You
size,
know,
the speed. Play,
size and speed is different. You know, player profiles are different. Yeah. You know,
and you can never have too many pass rushers in the NFL.
That's true.
Yeah, but see, and to add to Ken's point earlier, you know, the name of the game used to be, you know, it was all about size. You know, the profile was all about size. That NFL doesn't exist anymore. You know, it's all about speed. You know, you have undersized linemen, you know, across the fray. I mean, matter of fact, who's the most dominant NFL player on the defensive player right now? Aaron Donald. He's severely undersized,
right?
And he's dominating the league, you know. So it's across the board. The thing is, you know, it comes down to fit. You know, it's like a car. You know, you have all these different parts, and everything has to run. You know, it has to work the way it needs to work for everything to run smoothly. And so, like you talk about a James Houston, but then, you know, you ask your Aiden Hutchinson as well, you know.
I was just about to say that.
And, you know, and then you going to have something of the same sort at linebacker and at safety as well. And again, it's not just the player pieces. It's come down sometimes to what's being called as well.
Sure.
You know, each play is magnified. You know, that's what we mentioned about his weakness with him going inside. That's why I use the example, like, you know, hey, that's a weakness for him, but how many times him being outside of his position is he really going to go inside to deal with guards? You know, And also, I'm almost certain that your DC is actually going to put not only him, because typically you're going to put your, you're always for the most part going to put your front end and your back end and your defense in the best position to win. You know, because now that's what the game's won, is won on the pass rushing on the back end.
Yep.
You know, used to be everybody focused on linebackers. And now, you know, the, well, depending on your defense, you know, because some of your linebackers are rushing as edge rushers now, but it comes down to what we do on the front end, what we do on the back end. And I'm telling you, if James Houston gets the real opportunity to put his hand in the dirt, the man is going to be a problem.
I think you guys have a really good cornerback, Okuda. I know he's I think he's coming off an injury, hopefully, you know, and he's but here's why I mentioned that, because we had a lot of good DBs. DBs help your pass rush because the ability to cover. And the best thing that happened to James, and you talked about those packages, possibly the third down answer, is Aiden Hutchinson, I believe. I think Aiden Hutchinson is ready to go day one. Mm-hmm. I thought he was the best pass rusher that you guys got, that you guys drafted. And I don't think it's no mistake, Pro Football Focus, to rank the top edge rushers in all of college football. You guys drafted both of them. And James Houston being number one, that's not a typo. I'm telling you, man, this kid is a book. And even if he, I don't care if he's a full-time special teams player and a third down, you put him in a 3-4, bring him off the edge where you got a really good nose and a couple of, you know, hard nose D tackles, and you, it's going to be hard to deal with Aiden, because you got to deal with Aiden Hutchinson coming off the edge. So we think if the trajectory is there, which I think it is. I mean, he comes from a really good program up there with Coach Harbaugh in Michigan. And I watched him all season because we had a fellow JSU Tiger that transferred.
Daylon Baldwin,
a wide receiver who was playing for Michigan. So we watched a lot of Michigan games. I think because there's a teammate of James, that, you know, Antoine Owens came to us from Georgia Tech. What he did on the defensive line really helped James, because when you have a good rush defense, you know, the ability to be like a San Francisco. I'm not a San Francisco 49ers fan. I told them I'm a Raiders fan. But one of the things that they were able to do, San Francisco was able to get to the quarterback with a front four.
Yeah.
They only rush four.
Yep.
So if you can get to the quarterback without having to use other bodies and other pieces, that's going to bode well for you, for your back seven to be in better position to stop offenses, because it's all about a spread attack nowadays and the ability to pass the ball. So you give James time. You got three, possibly 4 seconds to get that ball out of your hand. Otherwise, you might be in for a rude awakening. So I think he's definitely capable year one. I don't think that's too much to ask for. But the first thing that us at JSU Tigers, we want him to make the roster first and foremost. We want him to make the 53-man roster, whether that be special teams or not. I think if he makes the roster, that buys him time to splash and pop off and show that kind of even if it's practice squad, whatever. He'll have the opportunities to show the coaches that if you put me on the field and give me a chance, I'll be able to get in there and make some plays for you. That's really all you can ask for out of the first year.
Knock on wood, if he would have been here a year earlier, he would have had a ton of opportunities.
Sure.
He's dealt with injuries all year long.
Oh, my goodness.
Hopefully he gets there, you know, through this incredible play.
I've got him in my 53-man projection already. I think there's a spot for him for sure, especially because you mentioned, like, he's a versatile piece that you can use in so many different places. That does wonders for you when they're trying to cut down a roster. Last question for both of you guys. I like to finish on this thing. Can you just give me a play from James Houston's career that maybe it's your favorite play, maybe it was his most important play, maybe it was just a play where he showed one thing that you think will define his NFL career? What is one play you think about when you think James Houston, you think about this play?
You first, though.
I'm actually going to go to the first game of the season.
I knew it. I knew he was going to do it.
I'm going to the first game of the season because it says so much at the first game of the season. Mind you, he was a linebacker. We're like, man, we got a lot of surprises because we got a true freshman starting in safety, you know, first day. Then, you know, we got James Houston, a linebacker. We're like, oh, this dude's not defensive end. Okay. So we're sitting there watching, and he's wreaking havoc. But then it was a 7-6 game, right? And they were almost on the last play of the game, almost pretty much like in field goal areas, you know, to win.
That was fourth down, bro.
And it was fourth down, you know. And he came in, man, and you got to see it. It was so beautiful. He actually almost, you know how linemen back up. The guy almost stumbled because James crossed him over. Oh my God. You see it in slow motion, it's poetry. Yeah. And it was the first game. And then, like I said, to go from that to the very next game, get 4 sacks, it was then you knew, man, who is this dude again? You know? And he arrived. He made a statement that game because he had 2 sacks that game. He made a statement that game, and it was just like, watch out. But, yeah, I'm definitely going to go with the first game.
For me, it's going to be a little different since Zoe took my first thought, but I'll switch it up a little bit. The game that comes to mind, I mentioned this, Alabama A&M. And I think Zoe, I made a mention of it. And it's a reason why, because that game was personal. It was personal because there's a lot of history. Head coach is talking smack. Well, the head coach, their head coach talks smack. And we left them a little surprise after the game. We left them a little scooter. Yeah, a little pink scooter because Coach Prime had it. He was on a scooter. The coach puts out some, hey, coach, send me one of those scooters. And so they beat us in the spring. And it was a lot of smack talking. They had Keel Glass, like I said, is at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers now. And we wound up beating them 61-15. It was personal. And I'm talking about an absolute throttling. But that game, James Houston was just, he wreaked havoc, man. He come off the edge. And I thought the play of the game was the game where he strip-sacked the quarterback, comes off the edge, he beats the tackle, he sacks him. And not only did he knock him down, he was able to go and get the ball all in one stride, picks the ball
65 up. 65 yards.
That was a 65-yard touchdown. And he just separates. And you could tell at that point, it's like, this is a man amongst boys, you know, not you know, figuratively. And that play right there was when we knew we had something special, along with all the other plays that Zoe mentioned. There's a play at Tennessee State, but there's a play against Mississippi Valley where the quarterback, there's a rushing quarterback that comes off. He sees James, tries to redirect. James stops, plants, changes direction, and he cuts the field off and basically slams the dude down. It should have been a safety, but it wasn't. And that's all in his highlights. You got to go watch his highlights. All of your podcast listeners and followers, go to Cut Day Sports on YouTube. Shout out to Cut Day. He did a really good cut up of James Houston's top plays. It's like a 3-minute long video for all of us who have a short attention span. Go check it out, man. You'll see a lot of plays for James.
I was going to say, you might need 3.5 minutes, though, 24 and a half tackles for loss, like you said, and 16 and a half sacks.
That was amazing. And one last thing I wanted to do, because our podcast is Tiger Talk with the 1400 Club. I always want to shout out the 1400 Club is an affinity group of the university. It's a bunch of us young alums. 1400 is the address of Jackson State, 1400 J.R. Lynch. And the podcast is just one division of what we do for the university. So shout out to the founders of the 1400 Club, Sid, Thad, Greg, Brian, and the whole crew, Corey. Just wanted to make sure we shouted them out because they afford us the opportunity to do what we love on this platform. So we're so thankful that you guys brought us on. You know, we could do this all. Matter of fact, we do this all day. This is normal conversation.
Hell, we might bring you guys back, man. This was such a good conversation.
Anytime, man.
And
we not May. We should bring them back. Yeah. When James Houston makes the 53-man roster.
Go.
Yep.
There you go. Let's go.
I was thinking when he gets his gold jacket, but maybe I'm taking things too.
He can. We got one gold jacket in Detroit. It's okay. You know,
there you go.
Barney, number 20.
That's right.
There you go.
Well, make sure you follow these guys at Tiger Talk 1400, at Tiger Talk 1400. Ken, Zoe, couldn't appreciate your time anymore. I'm sweating now. I'm so excited for training camp. I'm so excited to see James Houston and the rest of the Lions class. But thank you all for listening. Thank you too for joining us. We'll be back next week with our next Lions draft pick. But until then, thank you for joining us. It's chaos. Be kind.
more to-dos, less time, and an infinite number of tools to keep track of. Sometimes doing business has never felt harder, but you don't need a miracle to hit your goals. You can just use HubSpot, because their all-in-one customer platform can make growing your business infinitely easier. Imagine this: high-quality leads, fast closing deals, wildly happy customers, and more benchmark-breaking quarters. It's not a miracle, it's HubSpot. Visit HubSpot.com to get started today.
Support for this show comes from Fundrise. Buy low, sell high. It's easy to say, hard to do. For example, high interest rates are crushing the real estate market right now. Demand is dropping and prices are falling, even for many of the best assets. It's no wonder the Fundrise Flagship Fund plans to go on a buying spree, expanding its billion-dollar real estate portfolio over the next few months. You can add the Fundrise Flagship Fund to your portfolio in just minutes, and with as little as $10 by visiting fundrise.com/fox. Carefully consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of the Fundrise Flagship Fund before investing. This and other information can be found in the fund's prospectus at fundrise.com/flagship. This is a paid advertisement.